Welcome to XY Files Podcast. I'm Vladimir Kotloff, MD. With a medical background in urology and deep expertise in male hormone optimization and fertility, this is episode 5 of 18 in our low testosterone series. Last time, we covered primary versus secondary hypogonadism, where the problem starts and why it changes everything. Today, we're getting into HPG axis explained, how testosterone is produced. The reason this matters is simple. A lot of men think testosterone is just something the testes make. Then the lab prints a number, then you either take testosterone or you do not. Real life is not that tidy. Testosterone production is a brain to pituitary to testes loop. And if you do not understand that loop, you can misread labs, misclassify the problem, and choose the wrong treatment. One of the most common clinic visits I see goes like this. A guy in his late 30s or early 40s comes in tired, flat, not recovering well from workouts, libido down, maybe some brain fog, maybe more abdominal fat than he used to carry. He had one testosterone level checked in the afternoon. Nobody measured LH, nobody measured FSH, sometimes nobody checked free testosterone directly either. Then he asks me the reasonable question, do I need TRT? And the honest answer is, at that point, we do not know yet. The HPG axis is the framework that turns that guess into a diagnosis. HPG stands for hypothalamic pituitary gonadal. That sounds more dramatic than it is. Think of it as a control loop with three checkpoints. The hypothalamus is the signal generator in the brain. The pituitary is the relay station sitting just below it. The testes are the production site. The hypothalamus sends out GnRH, which means gonadotropin releasing hormone. It does this in pulses, not as a steady stream. Pulses matter. The pituitary reads those pulses and releases LH and FSH. LH is luteinizing hormone. FSH is follicle stimulating hormone. LH tells the Leydig cells in the testes to make testosterone. FSH supports the Sertoli cells, which help sperm mature and develop properly. If you want a plain language version, it is this. Brain sends a timed signal. Pituitary translates it. Testes respond. Then the finished product, testosterone and some estradiol made from it, goes back to the brain and pituitary and says, we have enough. Ease off a bit. That loop is not academic. It explains why two men can both have a low testosterone result and need completely different treatment. I used to think, earlier in training, that the most important part of the visit was the testosterone number itself. It is important, of course, but I was wrong about what mattered most. The part that changes management is often the pattern around the number. Where in the chain is the failure? Is the brain signaling hard and the testes are not responding? Or is the brain under-signaling and the testes are still capable of working if properly stimulated? Those are different men, even if the lab prints the same low total testosterone. So how is testosterone actually produced? It starts one step earlier than most people think. The testes do not decide on their own to make testosterone because you had a hard leg day or because you slept in on Saturday. They respond to LH. LH binds receptors on Leydig cells. Those cells use cholesterol as the starting material and move through a steroid synthesis pathway that ends in testosterone production.
Some of that testosterone goes into the bloodstream and shows up on your lab report. A much higher concentration stays inside the testes, where it helps support sperm production. That detail matters more than most men realize. Serum testosterone and intratesticular testosterone are related, but they are not the same environment. FSH is working on the fertility side of the house. It supports Sertoli cell function and spermatogenesis. LH and FSH are not interchangeable. LH is the main signal for testosterone production. FSH helps create the right environment for sperm. You want both pathways intact if fertility matters. This is why exogenous testosterone, meaning testosterone you take from outside the body, can improve serum testosterone while lowering fertility. It satisfies the brain's sense that enough androgen is around, so the brain reduces GnRH, the pituitary reduces LH and FSH, and the testes lose their native stimulation. Blood level looks better. Internal signaling gets quieter. Sperm production often drops. I had a patient not long ago who was mostly focused on energy and body composition. Fertility was not on his mind until I asked about it. Then he paused and said, well, maybe in a year or two. That is a very common moment. Men often do not realize that treatment choice today can affect fertility tomorrow. The HPG axis is why. Now, the next piece of the puzzle is negative feedback. This is the braking system. When the body produces enough testosterone, some of that testosterone is converted by the aromatase enzyme into estradiol. In men, estradiol is not some foreign hormone that wandered into the wrong locker room. It is a normal male hormone, and it is part of how the body regulates testosterone production. The hypothalamus and pituitary sense estradiol signaling and reduce GnRH, LH, and FSH output accordingly. A 23 2013 paper in the New England Journal of Medicine made this point clearer for a lot of clinicians. In men, estradiol is not just background noise. It has real physiologic effects, and it participates in hormonal feedback. Why should you care? Because this explains two very common clinical situations. First, it explains why testosterone replacement shuts natural production down. If the brain senses enough androgen exposure, including the downstream estradiol signal, it backs off. GnRH falls, LH falls, FSH falls. The loop quiets down. Second, it explains why obesity can suppress testosterone even when the testes themselves are not structurally damaged. Adipose tissue is hormonally active. More body fat often means more aromatase activity. More aromatase means more conversion of testosterone to estradiol. More estradiol means stronger negative feedback on the brain. LH drops, testicular stimulation drops, testosterone drops further. That is functional hypogonadism in a lot of real-world men. This is the guy I see all the time, still working hard, still trying to train, desk job got longer, sleep got shorter, midsection expanded slowly, then all at once. He thinks, I just need more discipline. Sometimes he does need better habits. Most of us could use that. But there is also endocrine biology happening in the background. It isn't laziness. It isn't weakness. It is a suppressed axis. Now we can get practical, because this is where diagnosis either becomes precise or goes sideways.
Male hypogonadism is a clinical syndrome. It is not a lab result by itself. You need both persistent symptoms and biochemical evidence. A low number alone is not the diagnosis. Symptoms alone are not enough either. At VIDMA, when symptoms persist, we use total testosterone below 350 nanograms per deciliter or free testosterone below 100 picograms per milliliter as decision thresholds. It is around 350 nanograms per deciliter, to be exact. And we prioritize free testosterone because total testosterone can miss men who are clearly symptomatic but have altered binding proteins. This is also why I care so much about how free testosterone is measured. Most routine labs use immunoassays for a lot of hormone testing. We use direct free testosterone measurement by equilibrium dialysis with LC-MS-MS. That is the method we trust. We do not order SHBG as a separate workaround because direct free testosterone answers the real clinical question more accurately. SHBG still matters conceptually. It is the binding protein that can make total testosterone look deceptively normal or deceptively low. But if you directly measure free testosterone properly, you avoid a lot of that interpretive fog. The mandatory part, and I mean mandatory, is LH and FSH. If you do not measure LH and FSH with testosterone, you have not identified where the problem starts and you cannot choose the right treatment. High LH with low testosterone points to primary hypogonadism. That means the brain is signaling hard, the pituitary is doing its job, but the testes are not responding adequately. In that case, the testes are the failing organ, and stimulation therapy is usually not going to rescue production. Those men generally need testosterone replacement. Low or normal LH with low testosterone points to secondary hypogonadism. That means the brain or pituitary is not signaling strongly enough. The testes may still be intact. In the right man, that is where enclomiphene becomes a very elegant option. And FSH matters too. It helps round out the picture, especially if fertility is relevant. A man is not just a testosterone number walking into the room. He's also his reproductive function, his symptoms, his future plans, his sleep, his medications, his metabolic health. The axis reflects all of that. Timing matters as well. Testosterone has a circadian rhythm. Morning levels are generally higher, even in older men, though the curve flattens age. That is why we want morning fasting blood work between 7 and 11 a.m. in standardized conditions. One casual afternoon draw can misclassify a man. And testosterone varies within the same person, which is another reason repeat standardized testing matters. Our usual panel includes total testosterone, free testosterone by equilibrium dialysis with LC-MS-MS, estradiol, LH, FSH, CBC, comprehensive metabolic panel, and PSA in men over 40. When indicated, we add a lipid panel, prolactin, thyroid with TSH, and vitamin D. More than 40 biomarkers twice per year when a man is under our care, because safe hormone management requires more than staring at one number. Prolactin deserves a quick mention, because it can suppress GnRH and create secondary. If prolactin is elevated, especially with low or inappropriately normal LH and FSH, you need to think about pituitary causes and medication for reflexively pushing testosterone. There are also times when the pituitary needs imaging. The European Association of Urology recommends pituitary MRI when secondary hypogonadism is present with elevated prolactin, headache, or visual disturbance, or severe hypogonadism below 6 nanomoles per liter
later with inadequate gonadotropins. The point is not to MRI every tired man with a low normal testosterone. The point is to image the right men. I have seen the opposite mistake too. A man gets one low testosterone result, panics, and imagines a pituitary tumor by dinner time. Usually it is not that. Sometimes it is medication related. Sometimes obesity and metabolic dysfunction are suppressing the axis. Sometimes sleep is a wreck. Sometimes it is real pituitary disease, and the labs plus symptoms point you there. The pattern matters. Now, let's connect the axis to treatment, because this is where a lot of men finally understand why I keep asking for LH and FSH. If a man has secondary or functional hypogonadism, and LH is below 8 milli-international units per milliliter, and clomiphene is often the first-line therapy. Functional hypogonadism is the most common real-world pattern. The axis is structurally intact, but suppressed by obesity, metabolic syndrome, type 2 diabetes, medications, stress physiology, poor sleep, or some combination of those. And clomiphene works by blocking estrogen receptors at the hypothalamus. The brain cannot see the estradiol feedback signal as strongly, so GnRH rises, LH rises, and the testes are stimulated to produce testosterone naturally. It works with the body's own pathway. That is the key idea. And this is purified in clomiphene, the trans isomer, used specifically to avoid the estrogenic side effects associated with the cis isomer, zuclomiphene. Different biology, different clinical behavior. Why do I like enclomiphene in the right patient? Because it preserves spermatogenesis and fertility. It maintains testicular size and function. It follows the body's own regulatory system instead of bypassing it. It may be discontinuable in some men if the underlying drivers improve. And it generally carries a lower hematocrit burden than TRT because testosterone rises physiologically rather than being imposed from the outside. Lifestyle still matters. Of course it does. Weight loss, sleep, alcohol intake, medication review, insulin resistance, training load, all of that can improve the axis. But in functional hypogonadism, lifestyle alone often raises testosterone only modestly, around 1 to 2 nanomoles per liter on average, and long-term weight regain is common. That is why enclomiphene plus lifestyle modification is often the ideal first step, rather than pretending one more motivational speech will fix endocrine suppression. If the pattern is primary hypogonadism, meaning high LH with low testosterone, the logic changes completely. The brain is already asking the testes to work harder. They cannot respond adequately. In that setting, enclomiphene is not the answer. Testosterone replacement is. TRT also has a place in secondary hypogonadism that does not respond to enclomiphene. But TRT is reserved for documented hypogonadism, not for optimization in men with normal testosterone, not for bodybuilding, not for anti-aging fantasy sold like skin cream.
When we do use TRT, we monitor it properly. The TRAVERSE trial, the largest randomized trial in this area, followed more than 5,000 men for about 33 months and found testosterone therapy was non-inferior to placebo for major cardiovascular events. It did not show an increased prostate cancer risk. It also showed what clinicians already know from daily practice. The most common adverse effect is elevated hematocrit, so that needs monitoring, especially in the first 3 to 12 months. And TRT does not prevent or treat type 2 diabetes by itself. In selected men with organic pituitary disease, especially when immediate fertility preservation matters, gonadotropin-based therapy, such as HCG and FSH, can be used to bypass the pituitary. But for many men with an intact axis who are not in an urgent fertility scenario, enclomiphene is a preferred alternative before going down that road. This treatment logic is how we practice at VDMA. We either run a thorough workup or analyze existing labs, including outside panels like Function Health, then classify the axis first, intact but suppressed, failing at the testes, possible pituitary issue. From there, treatment is individualized. Enclomiphene first line when the pattern fits, testosterone cypionate when replacement is truly indicated, ongoing monitoring, then protocol adjustment based on response and safety. A lot of guys hear low testosterone and think low is low, just replace it. But that is like hearing a car will not start and replacing the battery without checking the alternator, the fuel, or whether you left the lights on overnight. Sometimes the battery is the problem. Sometimes it is the wiring. The same low output can come from very different failures upstream. Let me go through a few misconceptions I hear all the time. A lot of guys hear that LH and FSH are optional extras. They are not. This is the mistake I see most often. Without LH and FSH, you cannot classify primary versus secondary hypogonadism. Without classification, treatment is guesswork. And guesswork in hormone therapy tends to get expensive, frustrating, and occasionally fertility end. A lot of guys hear testosterone replacement and assume it will restart or support their own production. It does the opposite. Exogenous testosterone suppresses GnRH, LH, and FSH through through negative feedback. That is why sperm production drops on TRT, and why TRT is contraindicated in men seeking fertility. A lot of guys hear, "My total testosterone is normal," and think the story is over. Not always. If free testosterone is low and symptoms fit, that matters. This is especially relevant in men whose binding protein status makes total testosterone look cleaner than their physiology really is. A lot of guys hear, "Just lose weight and your testosterone will come back." Weight loss can help, sometimes substantially, but the real world is messier than a motivational poster. Many men regain weight, many improve only modestly, many feel awful while waiting to see whether 6 months of perfect behavior changes their labs enough. That is why I treat the axis in front of me, not the fantasy version of the patient who never misses sleep and meal preps like a professional athlete.
And one more. A lot of guys hear secondary hypogonadism and assume that means lifelong TRT. Often it does not. In functional secondary hypogonadism, the axis may be suppressed, not broken. Stimulate it correctly, address the reversible drivers, and some men can restore natural production. If you are listening to this and wondering what to actually do next, keep it simple. First, do not diagnose yourself from one random testosterone number. Get properly tested in the morning, fasting, between 7 and 11 a.m., and repeat if needed. Second, make sure the labs include total testosterone, direct free testosterone by equilibrium dialysis with LC-MS-MS, estradiol, LH, and FSH. If those are missing, the evaluation is incomplete. Third, remember that symptoms matter. Persistent low energy, poor recovery, low libido, low mood or motivation, erectile changes, worse body composition, brain fog, poor sleep. These belong in the conversation. But symptoms plus labs together make the diagnosis. Fourth, choose treatment based on the axis. If LH is high and testosterone is low, think primary hypogonadism and replacement. If LH is low or normal and testosterone is low, especially with LH below 8, think secondary or functional hypogonadism. And consider enclomiphene first. If prolactin is elevated, or there are headaches, visual changes, or very severe deficiency with inadequate gonadotropins, think pituitary workup. That is the real value of understanding the HPG axis. It turns low testosterone from a vague label into a map. Next time, we'll get into medications, substances, and lifestyle factors that quietly kill your testosterone. Make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss it. If you've been feeling low energy or brain fog, poor sleep, low mood or motivation, weaker workouts or recovery, reduced libido or sexual performance, or unwanted body composition changes, and that sounds like you, upload your labs to VIDMA for free or order labs through our special offer at VIDMA.com.